Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. All right, you get to pick. Do you want to live a life that is filled with happiness or a life filled with suffering? Easy question, right? But should it be? Right? Our text from Philippians, it talks about how Jesus willingly suffers. Could suffering be a good thing? Of course, the answer is yes. Suffering is a good thing. Why? Because suffering always leads us back to our Savior. Suffering helps us admit that we cannot do it on our own, but we need God's help. After all, if we weren't all suffering with sin, would we have any need for a Savior at all? Philippians 2 shares these words. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus is God. This confession is what separates Christianity from every other religion in the world, because honestly, most religions will recognize that Jesus was a real person. Ask the Jews, they'll tell you they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe he's God. The Muslims believe in Jesus, but they don't believe he is God. You, dear Christians, you believe that Jesus is God. I know, because I just heard you confess the Nicene Creed. How about that? It means that Jesus has all of the power of God at his fingertips. Remember how God spoke creation into existence? Jesus can do that. In fact, he does do that throughout his life with all of these miracles. He literally breaks the laws of physics. He does things that no human being can explain. All of it is possible because Jesus is God. And for once, as he enters Jerusalem, he receives a welcome that is worthy of God. Right? The people, they're going nuts. We have red carpet in here, right? We did the red carpet thing. But they don't have red carpets back then. So what do they have? They have cloaks that they can shake out and throw before Jesus as he rides on this donkey. They have palm branches that they rip out and they lay down. It's the proverbial red carpet. The celebrity has come to town. It's time to celebrate. There's songs going on. There's celebration, right? Jesus gets this royal treatment. He's treated just like God should be. And yet, just like our service started with Palm Sunday, but our second gospel reading happened to be the crucifixion, this is exactly why Jesus comes to Jerusalem. The joy of Palm Sunday makes way for the suffering and death of Good Friday. Why would Jesus do this? Remember, again, he's God. He has power. So why would he allow this to happen? To walk into Jerusalem knowing that all of this fanfare is eventually going to make way for the greatest event of suffering the world has ever seen. It's because Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Yes, Jesus is God, but he is not a God who rules in the way that we expect God to rule. Jesus rules with humility. He has power. He chooses not to use it. He deserves to be known for all of the glory that is within him, and yet he sets aside his own comfort, and he sets aside his divine rights, and he sets aside his dignity, and he sets aside everything that is owed to him as part of the Godhead. Why? So that he could be a human being. When was the last time you thought that was the best thing ever? I'm going to trade being God for, I don't know, being this weak, helpless flesh and bones creature. But you see, he has to do this. If Jesus is going to be the Savior of the world, he has to be true God, 100%, fully, completely. Because if he's not God, he can't do the law perfectly. All right, here we go again. Show of hands. Who's been perfect their entire life? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. No, the truth is none of us have been. Because we are not God. We are not perfect. We don't do life well. I mean, sometimes maybe when the Holy Spirit empowers us to do good, we actually might do it. But most of the time we're inwardly focused. We're navel-gazing and serving ourselves. But not Jesus. He is God and he is perfect. And because of that, his sacrifice on the cross is actually worth something. His holy blood is shed for you. That way you too can be made holy. If Jesus has sinned, if Jesus isn't God, guess what? There's Good Friday, but there is no Easter Sunday. The resurrection wouldn't have happened. On the other hand, though, Jesus has to be true man. 100%, fully, completely man. Why? If he's not, he can't die. I mean, how many of us could aim some sort of high-powered rifle at the clouds and shoot God straight into the heart, right? No, probably not. It's going to land like several miles away and we're going to be in some big trouble, right? That's not a good thing. You know, even with all of the nasty sort of weapons that the world has, we still cannot attack God. We cannot kill God. But if God chooses to be a man, if God humbles himself to give up his place in heaven to live alongside humanity with real flesh and real blood, guess what? Now God can die. And he does. He empties himself. He empties himself of blood. He empties himself of breath. He is your servant. This is why we celebrate Palm Sunday. This is why we celebrate Holy Week, because Jesus came as the God-man who dies and rises for your salvation. Jesus loves you so much that there is not a cost that he wouldn't pay for your salvation. He gives it all. And he declares that your sins are forgiven. He sees your lack of perfection. He sees how weak and frail we are as these poor, sinful creatures. And yet he announces forgiveness and he opens eternal life to us. And we, who should just be mortal beings, were welcomed into an eternity that will never end. Do you believe this? Do you believe all these promises, all these wonderful things that God has for you? Because if you do, it means that Paul's words resound yet again. Have this mind among yourselves. The mind of Christ is what he is talking about. A mind of humility, like Jesus. You see, Jesus, he confidently and willingly goes into Jerusalem to pay the cost for you. And in the same way, how should we consider the cost that we have to pay? What if we have to suffer through this life? If that's the cost we have to pay, what do? We cling to our salvation in the risen Lord Christ. No matter what cost we have to pay, you know, maybe this morning you paid with a little bit of sleep. We could have all slept in, right? I could have slept in. But we didn't, right? We paid a cost. Why? So that we could be in God's house and hear God's word and receive his forgiveness. But that's a cost. Do any of us spend time to read God's word? There's a cost associated, but honestly, the cost is small because we gain eternal life. Has anyone had to endure through a situation where you have been treated poorly and it wasn't right? You've had to suffer for one reason or another, and you just can't figure out why God would put you through it. That's a cost. And yet, what do we allow that suffering to do? But we allow it to help us stay in the faith, to recognize that God will be with us through those times. And in fact, he will carry us through those times. My friends, we should pay any cost to stay in the faith. No matter what it is, the cost is small because eternal life is on the line. Recognize that you need Jesus and put aside your pride and confess your sin. Set aside your selfish desires and instead live selflessly, that is, for God and for your neighbor. Because truth be told, your neighbor needs you to be humble. Your neighbor needs you to have a mind of humility like Christ. Your neighbor needs your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. Your neighbor needs you to show forth Christ's love every day. And so we're called to be servants, just like Jesus was. Because honestly, God's word today is for your best. I mean, if you're going to live a humble life and care about everybody else instead of caring about yourself, chances are you're going to get taken advantage of. You're going to suffer. You're going to have to give away a lot of time and a lot of treasure and a lot of talent. But you know what? You'll be better off for it. Christ shows us. He's the greatest example of this, right? He suffers. He literally lives so selflessly that he dies. But what does God do? He raises him from the dead. And then even 40 days later, he raises him all the way into heaven where he is seated with power. Where all of that power that he didn't use to save himself in Jerusalem, now he uses it every day for your benefit, for your good. The last truly has become first, and the same is true for you. In being humble, you have nothing to lose, because your humility comes from Christ Jesus. And so today, have a blessed Palm Sunday. I don't know, maybe you are suffering through life right now. And in this very chapter of your life, think there are things going on that you just don't care for. But I still want you to have a blessed Palm Sunday and a blessed Holy Week too. Why? Because Jesus gladly rides in humbly on a donkey that you might have his gifts. And you do. His body and blood are yours. His innocent death is yours. And of course, next week as we gather again, his victorious resurrection is yours, both now and forever. Amen. Before we get the denouement on this sermon, though, I will read for you the first stanza of that last hymn we just sang. A lamb goes uncomplaining forth, the guilt of all men bearing, and laden with the sins on earth, none else the burden sharing. Goes patient on, grows weak and faint, to slaughter led without complaint, that spotless life to offer. Bears shame and stripes and wounds and death, anguish and mockery, and saith willingly, all this I suffer. And he suffers it all for you. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.